All right, welcome to the Stock Market News. Today is Thursday, October 14th, and we have a lot going on in the markets. We'll talk about what's happening. I should mention it. Last day, live from Clearwater Beach in Florida. So for the next stock market update, we will be back in our studios.
Yep. Gonna miss the live studio audience.
Right? Sure do. Okay. Anyhow, so we'll talk about the markets and what's happening today in just a moment, but we got to go back to yesterday, because yesterday we had the FOMC meeting minutes that were released. We're looking at a five-minute chart of the S&P. So we opened here, we're diddling around, and then right here, the meeting minutes were released. And usually they are moving the markets, but yesterday, not a holdout, right?
Yeah, not much of a reaction. Initially a little back and forth, but nothing big. And I mean, this can happen too, because just taking a bigger picture look at the Fed and the FOMC and what they do and what they are, the Fed minutes are released 3 weeks after a Fed statement. And if those Fed minutes really aren't revealing anything new, then it's not going to move the markets that much. But every now and then there is something that pops up that is, a big issue, and markets are going crazy. Yeah.
So let's take a step back for a moment and let's just talk about the Fed for a minute, of who they are, what they do, what the heck is happening here. So we have this Fed, which is the Federal Reserve System. And on the website, they say it is the central bank of the United States, and it performs five general functions. But if you read through this, it all boils down to what is said here in the first bullet points, which is basically promote maximum employment and stable prices. And this is what we have been mentioning it over and over. So it is, they're striving to have maximum employment and inflation under control. And inflation under control means below 2%. This is basically their stated goal.
It is. And we know it's running a little hotter right now, but that's their goal. And now you have a Federal Reserve Bank and the Federal Open Market Committee, or the FOMC, that's setting policy. This consists of the six board of governors. And so that's where you have Fed Chair Jerome Powell heading that. And then it also consists of the 12 Fed bank presidents. So you have a group here that's, governing or making decisions on monetary policy for the U.S.
Right. And this is where we often see on the economic calendar that some of these members are speaking. And we saw it this week. So we had FOMC member Brainard spoke yesterday. Bowman spoke yesterday. Barkin today. Williams tomorrow. So, I mean, these individual members are speaking. And of course, this is where people are listening. This is why they're flagged as an orange flagged report, because they want to hear, what do they have to say? What are their opinions? And this is where also the meeting minutes come in, because if you just look at this, so we have the Fed meeting, and you talked about it, the Fed meets eight times per year, and then after a meeting we usually have a quick press conference where they summarize in broad strokes the outcome of the meeting. And the last one was here September 21st, 22nd, and then on 22nd they say, okay, we are tapering the bond buying program. And that's pretty much what they said. They said, okay, we will taper. And no real details are being released. And this is where now the minutes are coming in. And this is what we learned yesterday, because looking at the minutes, now we see exactly what they talked about, exactly what they will do, when they will be starting it. And we also see what the individual members said. And this is always interesting to see if the Fed is, or the FOMC committee is, unanimous, or if they are split, as they are right now, because there are a few FOMC meeting members who want to have this more aggressively.
Exactly. And so the FOMC minutes showed that most committee members believe that employment would be sufficient to meet the substantial further progress test that the central bank outlined as a reason for unwinding the emergency provisions undertaken at the outset of the pandemic. So basically, in real simple terms, you had the pandemic hit. They decided that, hey, we need to do something about it, but we're going to monitor further progress, with employment to decide to scale back that emergency program. And many members feel that now is the time. It sounds like mid-November could be the starting point, or December. One thing that is good and one thing that they also noted is that they feel that sharing this information with the investing public will hopefully reduce the risk of an adverse market reaction, quote unquote. So, you know, they're looking at it as we should probably let this information out sooner than later, so it doesn't, you know, hit the markets as a surprise. And I absolutely believe that's
right. And now they're also very specific and say, okay, we have a total of 120 billion per month that we're doing. It's 80 billion in treasuries, and it's another 40 billion in mortgage-backed securities. And they said how exactly they will scale it down, and they will start with a reduction of 10 billion in the treasuries, 5 billion in the mortgage-backed securities, and their goal is to have all of this done by mid-2022. So now we know more. And this is probably also, if you go back to the markets, of why there wasn't really a whole reaction. It's kind of a buy the rumor, sell the fact. And we talk about markets are always nervous because of uncertainty.
Yep.
And yesterday we got more certainty. We already knew that this tapering will happen. The question is when and how much. And this is where the markets were always a little bit uncertain and say, okay, how quickly, how aggressively are they doing it? What are their plans? And now we know, and this is why yesterday the reaction was rather muted.
Yeah, absolutely. I also saw that they now believe that core inflation will jump 3.7% in 2021, well above its original prediction, which was, you know, a few months earlier. And they also feel that it will be above 2.3% well into 2022. So they are expecting higher inflation. They've you know, kind of addressed that, but for a long time it was the transitory talk. Like, you know, it might drift past 2%, which is their target, but now they are accepting that this is something that's going to stick around for a little bit.
It's here to stay, and let's take a look at this. This was another thing that we had yesterday hitting the market, the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which jumped higher, and it jumped to a, 13-year high, I believe, because now year over year, was it 4.4 or 4.6%?
Do you remember? I don't remember.
It was maybe 4.4 or 4.6% year over year. But if you look into this, I mean, this would just mean, oh, prices in general is getting higher. You actually found something this morning of how the prices are continuing to rise. And this is quite interesting if you have it drilled down here a little bit. So rental cars, 42%. Gas, 42%, used cars, hotels are getting more expensive, TVs, furniture, meat, poultry, fish, and eggs. I mean, this is where we see, oh my God, this 4.4% or maybe 4.6%, I mean, that's kind of cute. But if you look at what we do on a daily basis, especially when it comes to groceries, I mean, yeah, we're looking at a much higher inflation than these 4.5%.
Yeah. My ribeyes are getting more expensive.
Seems so. TVs. Oh, this, by the way, did you hear that everybody is starting Black Friday and Christmas early because of the supply chain issues? I believe Amazon, Target, and who else? I think it was Walmart are offering Black Friday-like deals right now because they say, with all the supply chain, we want to see if we, supply chain issues, we want to see if we can stretch it out here a little bit.
Yeah, rather than have a bottleneck where everybody's ordering at once.
Yeah. All right. Now let's move to what's happening in the markets today. And did I really? No, I did not close there, by the way. Okay, there we go. So let's take a look at the E-mini S&P pre-market here. And this is the overnight session, the future session. And pretty much since yesterday afternoon when the markets reopened again, it has been going higher. And it has accelerated this morning a little bit.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, you know, it seems like this morning we had a lot of data being released. We'll talk about that. But it seems like the real catalyst right now is positive earnings, especially bank earnings being released this morning. So Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, all up pre-market with some nice earnings.
All beat expectations, boosted by release, jump in profit, beat estimates with quarterly earnings. I mean, all across the board. And this is what helped the major indices earlier today. So this is the jump that we saw here. So, I mean, we can take a look at the individual stocks. Let's quickly do it. So we have, let me switch to a daily chart. That would be a weekly chart.
BAC.
So we have BAC, Bank of America, up 2.7% this morning. We have Wells Fargo, WFC, up 0.85%. I mean, Wells Fargo is still lagging because they got hit with a lot of rules and regulations because of what they've done. So rightfully so. So they're a little bit lagging here. But we also have Citigroup up 1.1%. And who else did we have?
Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley. There we go. Morgan Stanley up 1.7%. And that's driving the indices higher here this morning. If you're looking at the mini S&P, go back to a 5-minute chart. But as you see, this is what happened after they released earnings. And then we have one more that happened.
Well, two.
Two? Oh, yeah.
Wait. Are you earnings or data?
Data.
So we have PPI and unemployment claims. And
jump over there.
Interesting. So PPI data, we had a 0.5% increase last month, and this was actually lower than forecast of 0.6%. So that was actually lower than expected, but still unadjusted, we see an 8.6% increase for the producer price index over the last 12 months ending in September. That's the highest since November 2010 when the data was first calculated. Yep.
Wow.
And then core PPI, which excludes energy and trade, that had an increase of 0.2%, which was actually a lot better than expected because the forecast was 0.5%. Year over year, we're looking at a 5.9% increase from a year ago with core PPI prices.
Right. So let's just briefly talk about it. So CPI is the consumer price index. PPI is the producer price index. And the PPI is usually the leading indicator because if it gets more expensive for producers to produce goods, eventually they'll pass this on to the consumer and then this will go higher. So it's kind of scary that here we are already at 8.6%. Here we are at 4.6, can remember. So 4.5%. So this might go higher, but it's good to see that we see a decrease in the PPI, in the producer price index. So maybe there is this transitory, maybe it's going back, but hey, it's one bird who's making the summer, and no, it doesn't. It's something else.
You know, I did see something that was kind of interesting. With the higher prices, the Social Security cost of living adjustment for next year is expected to be 5.9%, and that would be the biggest boost in Social Security in about 40 years.
I know, that'll be huge. It'll be a big jump. But then we also had unemployment claims.
Yep.
Coming out this morning. And these are the weekly unemployment claims. And let's talk about these.
Yeah. So for a couple of weeks, we kept seeing unemployment creeping higher and coming out more than forecast. Last week, we saw that change. We came out lower than forecast. And this time, we actually had 293,000 Americans filing for first-time unemployment. That was better than the 315 expected. Second week where we're lower than forecast, but the first time since the pandemic began that we actually have numbers below 300,000. So this is kind of like finally getting to a normal type number.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it seems that employment is getting higher. So, I mean, we had the September employment report that disappointed a little bit, but wages are also getting higher. So it looks good on the employment front. Inflation, we'll see. I mean, PPI today, it's pretty good that it moved lower. So we'll see. I mean, thus far, the markets are really, really liking it. If you look at the major indices this morning at the futures market, I mean, the mini S&P, we're up 0.9%. In the NASDAQ, we are up 1.05%. And then the Dow, 0.8%. So it seems that we opened very strong here this morning.
Sure looks like it.
All right. So I'm almost out of time, but one thing. Since we mentioned it over the past few days, William Shatner is back safely after coming out of space. And he said it was such an amazing experience. He cried telling Jeff Bezos about his flight and said, I hope I never recover for it and I will keep these memories forever.
That's
so
awesome.
It was a pretty good experience, it seems.
That's great. That's great.
We're just glad that Captain Kirk is safely back on Earth.
Of course.
Okay, with that said, we'll start trading here live with our mastermind in Clearwater Beach, Florida. So excited about this. If you enjoyed this video, give us a like, subscribe, and watch some of the other videos that are popping up right now.
Happy trading, everybody.